if we go to the 12-team playoff, which we are, and we get wildly uncompetitive games like Dolphins Chief, like Eagles Bucks, like Cowboys Packers, people will just scream about it. But the NFL, just like, yeah, man, sometimes some dog shit teams make the playoffs. It's fine. We just have all come to terms. The only thing you can do is laugh at them. That's it. You can't complain about the structure. You just laugh.
This is kind of a corollary of, we do the same thing with college basketball when, like, George Mason makes a run for the title and no one's like, these piss ants shouldn't be there.
No.
Like, we love it when this shit happens. You know, oh, Florida Gulf Coast, we love y'all.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Do you know who is making this absolutely worth our while, though? Never mind. We should start the show because this is a thing I want to talk about.
I think
about.
We have, but yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's so, who can say, really? Even we don't know when the show is
begun. Really. We'll find out if Serber believes the show
has
started.
Right. That's right.
In that case, it has.
And only through his perfect judgment can we just say if the show has begun or not.
Okay, so you know how we were kind of disappointed that Bama wrapped up the coaching search so fast because we were so excited to see Bama Twitter during a coaching search?
Mm-hmm.
All is not lost because we have Bama Twitter during a portal era in which they may possibly be at a slight disadvantage. This produced the following Twitter thread yesterday that I am going to, you know, I'm going to share it, but I'm going to read from it first. This is a Bama Twitter enthusiast Living Crimson. Going to read this verbatim. For Smart and Sarkisian to be so thankful to Saban, they're worse than vultures about eating the Bama team. Only Kiffin has exhibited class. So
down bad.
Now, to be fair, the first response is from another Bama fan, hello Crimson Cleo, who says they're trying to win, LOL. This isn't Tiddlywinks. But our pal Living Crimson fires right back with, no, they're systematically trying to dismantle Saban's program and undermine the new regime because they fear competition.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby, like, listen, however you want to feel about Georgia, I think Kirby's been very open about trying to do that since day one.
Like, didn't Kirby learn everything he knew from Saban?
Yes. Kirby showed up in Georgia and was like, all right, here's all the pictures they don't want you to see, recruits. Here's what they really think of you. But I know, I'm Kirby Smart.
I'm not going to read you all of this thread, but within about 5 hours, it got to the point where another Bama fan was postulating that Kiffin was hanging back because he knew that if he poached from... I'm trying to parse this as best I can. As near as I can tell, this guy is postulating, not me, that Kiffin is hanging back because if he poaches from Alabama, all the boosters whose wives he slept with will tell on him, which led to the reply from Jay Short for Jay, they should be more mad at their wives. Women come and go. Football is forever. Do what's best for Bama.
Yeah, right. Spencer, shout welcome now, please.
when we said you guys were, we tried to tell y'all what these people were like, and I feel like even we may have undershot.
I feel like I just heard the argument. Do who's best for Bama?
Watch right. out.
The Shutdown Bowlcast, because women come and go, but football is forever.
Hey,
what's best for Bama?
College football's been around for 150 plus years, right? How many women are that old?
Very
Find
few.
Me one.
That
Very few.
Of.
That's right. And I think they're French.
Yeah.
That's
sustained by cigarettes.
Listener, if you're not caught up, major coaching news to announce. Will Muschamp has stepped down to an analyst position at Georgia to spend more time with his family.
Dynasty
I think that's
cooked.
what we're all here to talk about.
Dynasty
his
done.
Family.
With a family. Unspecified family. Yeah.
But his family is on the roster.
Not Kirby's family, but
listener, with your family. Will Muschamp's coming over. He wants to play board games and he's a very bad sport.
Which board games does he? Just, they gotta be real straightforward ones.
I think Will Muschamp can't see hexagons. Like if you try to put Catan in front of him,
yeah,
it just he has the opposite of B vision. Like sees in rectangles.
I just want bricks. Give me them bricks.
Longest road. Longest road. Run the ball. That's the longest road.
Yeah. Biggest army. That's recruiting.
I can't do a Muschamp.
I'll trade away all my sheep. They're not tough. They're fluffy. I don't want them.
I just want to hear him.
More ore.
I just want to hear Will Muschamp say, you know. Like, what's that? You know.
Reverse.
I don't believe in reverse. That's east and west. We only go north and south.
We only look forwards.
Man, you know, when you get hit Will Muschamp with the draw four, it gets real dicey after.
We call draw four on 3rd and 18. That's what we call.
1, 2, shit.
Yeah, I drew a 4 once on a board when I was scheming up a 4-3 defense.
These are coaching changes, and I need everyone to know something that
they're coming from somewhere.
They're all coming from somewhere. I need to know that really history is best understood. You know, it would be best understood looking forward, but we only have the option to look back. And sometimes it takes a while to realize when we've passed something of great import. I think in this case, it's taken us 5 years.
Like when you pass the rest stop and you stay 300 miles to the next rest stop.
Exactly. Exactly. You're like, ah, or, you know, hey, the next Buc-ee's isn't for like 220 miles. What am I going to do about my needs for corn syrup installed in a bunch
I need to poop and I need jerky. I need a bad.
It's the poop jerky cycle. Poop jerky. I consume and then I poop and then I need to consume more so that I can go back to the place where I poop that I buy the jerky at. Oh, Buc-ee's so clever. The point that I'm saying that we passed was in 2019. Okay, because
you're going to talk about Indiana, aren't you?
Goddamn right we are.
Everything comes
cradle
back.
Cradle of championships, baby.
All right, go ahead.
It's about Bama. Are we not supposed to talk about Bama?
No, it's fine. I just wanted to know, I'm glad I knew where this was going.
Okay. That
To Bloomington.
That there are certain moments in history where there's a collection of talent in one place that later becomes so influential and so important and so just creates an impact well beyond anything you could have anticipated. And really I think we should have. Because in 2019 Indiana won 8 games. Which on the curve of anyone else's football team on a level slightly above Indiana's historically, that's like winning 14 games. 14, yeah, like that's like any other team winning a national title. Indiana probably, I think, should go back and retroactively claim a national title for 8 games in 2019.
Yeah.
We support that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The motion is passed. Alabama, in addition to hiring Kalen DeBoer, from the University of Washington, who coming off an undefeated regular season and a Pac-12 championship and the only loss coming in the playoff championship game. Now the new head coach at Alabama has hired whom? That's right. Kane Womack.
I'm going to call Womack. Yeah.
That's a program category coach.
Program.
This is a program class destroyer.
Yes, a program class destroyer. Kane Womack from South Alabama has been hired as defensive coordinator.
I might have to take back everything I said about Kalen DeBoer not being a cultural fit, because he definitely understands where he's at.
He looked around and he goes, who are these WWE yokels going to buy? And they were like, a man named Kane.
The demon Kane is here.
Kane Womack also works as a NASCAR name if you need it to. Mm-hmm. It fits the Venn diagram neatly.
Mm-hmm. Here we have a coach who I think Kalen DeBoer by heritage is a group of guys coach, right? Mm-hmm. He has spent some time on the West Coast where he became, what do they say out there? Like tight-knit family or whatever, right? Like they have their own version of it. And now he is here in program territory. And he looked around and he hired the programist coach that he could.
I love these coach Pokemons that we're constructing.
Yeah. If you don't know, Kane Womack.
I think West Coast, Pacific Northwest feels like a found family to me kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
The Goonies or whatever.
I'm just going to give you Kane's entire program as NFL expert Stephen Godfrey is fond of saying, football coach ass football coach, right? Coach ass football coach.
I mean, they got that from us, but okay.
Sure. But I'm going to give you this. How program is he? Okay. We could do this. How program is he? How coach ass coach is he? I'm telling you one. First of all, the name Kane Womack. All right. Not Womack. I'm gonna call him Kane Womack. Kane Womack. First of all, spelled K A N E, just like the monster man whose family died in the funeral home he accidentally burned down. Okay,
the Undertaker did it. But
yeah,
go on.
That's canon. He's the first of all that. Two, he was the coach at South Alabama. He's so fucking Alabama that North Alabama was like, no, fuck that. Too close to Tennessee. Might be tainted. I'm going to go for the purest strain of Alabama. That's the South Alabama one. That's where all the Alabama drains down, and you only get the most concentrated Alabama in the South, in the drainage portion.
He's from redundant Alabama.
He is. He is from the hairy buffalo drink drain part, like when you make a drink out of, you know, everything that like sits in the mats at the bar. He's at the most concentrated, powerful part of Alabama.
What that's called?
Yes. So two, his major point, couldn't even coach at Alabama. He had to go to South Alabama first. And now in order to expose him to the mainstream, they got to pipe him in through regular Alabama, through Alabama heavy, right? Three, all of the following places are on his resume. Are you ready? One, started UT Martin.
No, back up.
Back up. Oh, I'm sorry. Playing career.
Give me his playing career.
We'll give you the
That's
playing
correct.
Career.
That's correct.
First of all, he went in high school. I'm going to back all the way up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He went to high school in Arkansas, of all places. He went to high school in Fayetteville.
There we go.
Not Fayetteville. Went to high school in Fayetteville. All right. He played at Arkansas.
For who? Who was the coach?
At the time.
This is part of the lore.
Yes. This is.
I love Arkansas because no matter the answer, it's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I believe he played for Houston Nutt.
That's correct. Yes.
Houston.
Thank you for New York citifying Houston Dolly mm-hmm. Nutt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Arkansas connections don't end, though. He got a start as a GA for Jack Crow, the only man ever fired the day after he lost to the Citadel. That's right. Yep. And where was that? An Alabama ass school, Jacksonville State. That's right. He coached at pre-FBS Jacksonville State. All right.
He also, as a player, he also transferred to Southern Miss.
So just my resume ain't Southern enough. Hold on. I need to go to a school where it's in the moniker.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Miss. So he went to Southern Miss as well. He coached at Ole Miss. Okay. How burly a football coach is Kane Womack? That's right. He coached a defensive back called the Husky. He coached the fattest, fast guy. That was his job in a defensive scheme. Then we'll ignore Eastern Illinois. That's the Alabama of Illinois. So we'll call it that. Then South Alabama, then arriving in 2018 through 2020 at what we're calling the birthplace, the crucible of coaches, mm-hmm. Indiana University.
Cradle of championships.
Cradle of championships. Just a little victory baby there. He helped nurse that.
Gross.
It's gross. So I'm just saying, we're going to look. Oh, there's more championships on that staff, though, by the way, because Mike Hart is also on that staff. That's right.
I would also say Bloomington as Southern Indiana. That's also Alabama.
I'll accept this.
Yeah, I would.
Kind of shaped the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I would also buy anybody from Southern Indiana as effectively being from Alabama, because if you've been to Southern Indiana, brother, whew.
That's Kentucky.
Like, I don't know if Bloomington identifies as South Indiana, but it looks as the Southern. If it's not in the Southern Indiana, it's on the border of Southern Indiana. So I'm going to count it for the sake of our resume here.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and count it. So just in case you're wondering whether Kalen DeBoer was going to come in with all these strange Northwestern ways.
Highfalutin.
Yeah. Whether he was going to be like, hold on. I can't get to the meeting. I need a latte. No. You need to send a message down the hall, put it in a fish's mouth and throw it. No, it's not doing any of that.
You can bet your ass he'll be eating Little Debbie's. That's right. No question.
Not like that man on Twitter was insinuating.
But maybe.
I think he was insinuating Lane Kiffin ate a lot of Debbie's, if you know what I mean.
For the program.
Yeah, for the
come to the sip.
The sip of what, Coach?
The man named is dog juice. What am I supposed to do with this information?
Tall drink of water called your wife. That's right.
Oh, boy. We're going to get some emails.
That's all right. I like to, by the way, that the guy's
we
like...
We've gotten emails.
No. Okay. Because we send them all to 38 Godfrey.
I was going to say, Jason and I check. We get emails.
We get emails that are like responses to disasters episodes from like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, hey, y'all, just thought of a good one.
We should collect all those at some point. And do like a remnants.
The odds and ends. The most out of time one. I want some. I have gotten a response to a column from like 7 years prior. That's the best. It's when somebody's like, I just read this and I got thoughts. You're like, I don't remember writing this.
Yeah.
It's like being old timey. It's like that's how arguments worked in the Middle Ages and shit, where it's like, I just heard what you said 6 years ago.
When we have like the correspondence from like two older figures.
And yes, like, two like hated science rivals or something.
Yeah. And we have the sense that like all they did all day long was write letters to each other. But it's also like, well, no, we have all their correspondence. So like we have the entire record of their communications with the outside world. And it was like one feud and one forbidden affair. And that's it.
There was nothing going on. So you really had to focus on the feud, the forbidden affair. You know, they didn't have TikTok. They didn't have PlayStation. They didn't have shit.
Imagine though, the calculus back then when you're like somebody's like, hey man, like it is the song Who Says We're Whack has pretty much been important through most of human history. Right. Because inevitably somebody in the course of history was approached and somebody said, hey, over there in Mesopotamia, they said you were whack. And thus began the inquiry, who said we're whack, right? The Lonely Island had it right. But before you responded, before you received a letter, right, which an important element of telling someone they were whack back in the day was sending them
You had to write a letter, right.
And be like,
you had to be nice in the beginning of it. That was the fucked up thing.
You had to make your own paper.
Dear sir,
I hope this letter finds you and your family well. Sir. However, I think you're a piece of shit.
I have established that you should eat this shit.
In close.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. I have enumerated.
Your brother in Christ.
If you are dead, please do not read this.
I had a really good time hop over the weekend, actually. I protested the appearance of Tony Dungy on my television, which I do every time he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Be gone. And it turns out that, like, I'm sure Tony Dungy would prefer to do, all of his bots go to bed at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Because I woke up the next morning and I had all these responses from like 4:45. And one of them took up with something I had done at Sports Illustrated, a job I left in 2013 to go to ESPN.
Hell yeah.
It started in 2011. So I'm like, buddy, I'm flattered you. I'm not even sure my name is still on that website anywhere. It's such a fucking disaster.
I used the Wayback Machine to get mad at you.
Congratulations to you for finding anything anyone wrote 10 years ago on that website, which has been through God knows how many upheavals since then.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure a few years ago I tried to find a post that you wrote at SI and I literally couldn't. So I don't even know how.
I don't think they're on there.
How they're stumbling on stuff.
I have one more regret about the Alabama coaching search wrapping up. And that is that I needed one more coach to do the social media brag about, we're staying here. We're not leaving. And I needed it to be a real reach. Like, I needed Dave Doran to be like,
Billy Napier.
Something at NC State. I don't care who's interested in me for any kind of job.
I don't know.
Steve Smith, I'm going nowhere.
This is like Ryan Day just attacks another senior citizen via GIF.
Yes, sure. Yes. Yeah, like I really
bring me Bill Parcells.
Like everybody who did it was sort of like within the realm of possibility, and I just needed like I needed PJ Fleck to be like, we're not we're going down with the goddamn ship. I'm not taking the Alabama job or the Cowboys job if it opens. You heard it here first.
But once that yeah. Eagles job opens.
That's fine. Fuck it.
Let's talk, son. Or if somebody had come out and been like, I'm iffy.
Hi, yeah,
that's hard by every year.
I'm Dave Doran, and it'd be irresponsible not to have this phone call.
Yeah. You know, I gotta look
I'm
out
Ryan
for me.
Day. Fuck Diane Feinstein. I said it.
Just Ryan Day coming out and being like, is this working? Are you still into me? Am I still into you? Huh? Come
that
on.
That is the weirdest vibe situation in terms of like quality of coaching versus reception of coaching.
Yeah.
I still don't. I recognize that I'm trying to parse what these people are like, and that's a futile effort. But Ohio State fans, call into the Fullcast voicemail. Tell us, like, emotionally, spiritually, where you're at on the axis, because it's hard to tell through all the screaming.
Mark Stoops live streaming.
Most of it is coming from your coach.
Mark Stoops live streaming from his hot tub. With like, you know, eight
surrounded
women.
Surrounded by age-appropriate blondes.
Age-appropriate blondes all cuddling up to him. And he's like, brother, you think I'm going anywhere? Cats, baby! You know, if he did that, if he live-streamed that, it would be the most supportive shit. They'd be like, hell yeah, coach. Get it.
The heel. The heel is the key part. Heel yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's so many single mothers, coach.
Yeah.
There's two wives in that hell.
Hey, my aunt's single. You want me to send her over?
Absolutely.
She's nice. You seem nice. She's lovely.
I'd be cool with Mark Stoops dating my mom.
Yeah.
Like if she wanted it.
Yeah. I'm Mark Stoops and I'm collecting every Suzanne in the state of Kentucky, the Commonwealth.
Send them on down. All
Me
of them.
And Suzanne Army are here to run wild all over you.
Where's the Susie Cats?
That's the Mark Stoops promise. Here we go. 8 win. Beating shit out of Louisville. All right. And then in addition to all of that, I am going to date only the most age-appropriate, wholesome women of Kentucky. All of them will have a delightful time, and I will parade myself around the campus in an outrageously inappropriate sports car that I purchased with your money.
Don't if you're really? if you're a Kentucky Suzanne, meet me at Texas Roadhouse. Dinner's on me.
I like they got that. Them rolls. You know age the rolls.
Age appropriate and Suzanne. It's like, yeah, you already said they're Suzanne's. they are within the appropriate age bracket.
So yes, I just wish we had had a few more coaches just come out and like really dispel that they were taking the Alabama job. That's all.
What if they all did? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh should have done that. Been like, I am not taking the Alabama job.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Who did that? Was it Lincoln Riley who said like?
Yes, it was Lincoln Riley who said the LSU Lincoln job. Riley said he Bye. Wasn't taking the LSU job. That is exactly what happened. Yes.
Yeah.
And was very emphatic about it. And now everything's going great.
Yeah, obviously that was a really great coup for all of those programs involved.
Everybody mm-hmm. involved is having a great time. Do you think Kalen DeBoer asked? Who are you picking if I say no? Because I would want to know at that point.
I would love to know who's next, yeah.
Because of the people who were listed, by the time we got down to like the final three on the list, it was Kalen DeBoer, in no particular order. Kalen DeBoer, Mike Norvell, who was Tommy one Reese. Of the people who came out and said yes. And yes, Tommy Reese was the third name. There was no other name being floated at that point. There are other people you can come up with.
Can I posit something interesting that I noticed? And this was mostly from talking to our co-host Brian Floyd over the weekend, who, if he will let me get a word in edgewise here, looking at the next couple years, you know, this was Washington's like in an all or nothing year, right? And roster wise, they're looking at a lot of rebuilding over the next couple of years. And the discussion that we had last week about this being a who wants to buy a boat job and how I thought Tommy Reese should just be the guy because they're just going to fire whoever the next guy is in 3 years anyway. I think there's a safe argument to be made that Kalen DeBoer is kind of taking a little bit more advanced version of the who wants to buy a boat job. Mm-hmm. Because what was the path we laid out for Tommy last week, right? Take this job, do it for 3 years, get fired, go to the NFL. And Kalen can do that and make more money to start. He starts at a higher floor.
Yeah.
I still think this is – I love the guy as a coach. It is not – because it is not anything about him that makes me say this is a three-year job. Like, I think anybody would be lucky to last 3 years in this job because, well – you've seen what you've seen what the hive's like down there. It's boiling and it's going to stay kicked for a minute.
I also
he can buy a bigger boat.
I have no idea. The problem with like the whole 3 year job for me is like I have no idea what the expectations are at this point.
This is a non-rhetorical question. Do they?
I suspect Alabama's athletic department has some sense. I don't know if they're accurate, like in terms of like what the boosters and the fans want, but like given everything that has changed in the last 2 to 3 years about the sport and about the conference, like I don't know if you go 9-3, is that success or failure at Alabama? Failure. I honestly don't know the answer. Oh,
failure.
Okay.
Failure.
Okay, if you go 9-3 in year one, is that failure?
Failure.
Yeah, I mean
that's not, failure in year one.
Yeah, sorry, but yeah, it's not fireable, but yeah, it's
yeah, right.
That's strike one. I don't know if you get three strikes though.
Okay.
I mean, it's funny because like with schedule changing, you know, Oklahoma at Oklahoma is coming on to replace a Mississippi school, basically, right? So like, wow, that sucks. You got Georgia from the east. You're going to Wisconsin, you'll probably beat them, but it's, you know, that'll be a real hassle. So like, I mean, the schedule next year kind of sucks. You're going to LSU and to Tennessee. but you only got to be like 11th to make the playoff. So,
but how long until
Bama fires a coach after they make the playoff?
This is
Jerry Jones will do it.
This is what I'm really excited to see because there's going to be programs who are perennially within. I mean, if you take it by numbers, Georgia, like go back and look at where those Mark Richt teams finished. How close were Mark Richt's last five Georgia teams to being in the top 12?
I suspect almost all of them. I mean, I'll go look here.
Yeah, let's go look for fun.
So not including the year he got fired, their final finish in the AP rankings were 9 unranked, 5 19 unranked, unranked 13 2 23 10 7. So like kind of all over the place. There is a mix here.
I think we might have to pull a median maybe for that to
maybe. Yeah. There's only 1 year in the Mark Richt reign where they don't hit a AP high point that would put them comfortably within striking distance of a 12 team.
Is that the Independence Bowl year?
It's the Liberty Bowl year.
Yeah.
So like, if you give Mark Richt the expanded playoff, he might have another title shot or two. Like 2012, for instance. I think we all know Georgia deserved another crack at Bama, and that should have been the title game. Just for instance, you know, if you give Mark Richt that for his entire career, he probably gets a title shot in, what was it, 05, 02, maybe 07. So, like, the appearances alone, is that enough to preserve him, which I think is the thing that relates most to DeBoer at Alabama. Like, is making the playoff almost always enough to keep you around as Alabama's coach?
No.
Yeah, like, are we...
Because I'm not sure how much it would have changed the math for Richt to just make the playoff.
Well, and
are we NFLifying? We're NFLifying enough of the game. Are we NFLifying in this way also?
The thing you're also pulling at there is that, and this was true of Mark Richt as well, for so long, winning a conference title has been important, has remained important in the playoff era because the pathway to making the playoff without winning a conference title is incredibly narrow. Like it has been done. Alabama is a team that has done it without even playing in a conference title game. But but broadly speaking, if you wanted to make the playoff, you really had to win the conference. Like you were putting a lot of hope into other shit going right for you that was out of your control. I am curious now in the expanded playoff and the super conference era if that stops mattering as much as long as you still make the playoff, like what does do will people care as much about winning a conference title if it's like, well, there's still an easy spot in. And maybe there's an easy spot in. Maybe there's a spot in where you also get an extra week of rest.
Big 12 just throwing up his hands in the corner. What do you people want from us?
I mean, I think the easiest comp at this point is now going forward FCS, where like, yeah, mm-hmm. conference titles matter, but the instant you win one, you're talking about what does this do for a playoff seeding?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the and I will say too, Alabama's a bit more attuned to the value and virtue of a national title than some fan bases. Maybe more eager to claim it, maybe more historically willing to aim not only that high, but to consider it something worth achieving. And I'm just comparing that to something like Michigan, where they're a little happier with conference title, and then let's see how the bowl game goes. You know, not saying it's not as important.
Are they complacent?
Now.
Are you calling them complacent?
Not anymore. Oh. No, no, no. Now they're in for a special kind of hell.
Now you're down here with the rest of us.
Yeah. But can we review what happens when you win 10 games at Alabama and what that means?
God bless.
Because a lot of coaches who aren't Nick Saban have done it.
Yeah. That's when you get a brick in your window.
God, it always comes back to the God Bill
Curry. So mm-hmm. for those of you who are veteran Alabamaologists, welcome. We're going to go over some material you already know by heart. However, for
you can yell at us through your car or your podcasting device about the shit we're getting wrong, and that's cool.
That's great. That's great.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Let's talk about our two big bricks that we're negotiating around, the monuments, the Twin Towers. Maybe let's rephrase that.
I think you mean the two towers.
Yes, the two towers, the twin pillars of this colossus we call Alabama football. Bear Bryant on one side, Nick Saban on the other, and then in between you have
Jet Fuel can't melt Kevin Steele. Sorry, I just had to say that.
In between, you do in fact have the twin towers.
Yeah. In between,
Jet Fuel can't melt giant eagles.
In between, you have the Gooch of Alabama football. Which,
I mean, almost
by definition is
exactly the midpoint between their retirements.
Why did the Pentagon just send the Eagles 9/11? To
makes
lower
you think.
Manhattan?
Does
great
make
question.
You think. So, this is the successor to Bear Bryant, Ray Perkins. Ray Perkins in his final year. I'm just going to I'm going to ignore everything that happened before that. We're just going to go to the last year, okay?
Just to orient those of us outside the conference, can you throw some years in here as well?
Yeah, sure. 83 is Ray Perkins' first year, and it's middling. It goes back and forth. He goes.
How old were you?
I was 22. 22 at the time. You know, I'm holding together real well, Ryan. No
you look great. You look fucking great.
You look awesome.
That's okay. That's testament to the glue. More than
a lot of water and a lot of glue. That's right.
A lot of water, a lot of glue.
You got to keep the compound moist.
The power of prescription amphetamines. All three of these things have got me to this point.
On the inside, the straw will start to poke through.
If you walk up to Spencer and you hit him with a Minecraft hammer enough, water and glue will be the elements that you obtain.
You receive water, glue, and espresso. Those
he's
are the
basically
three things.
He's basically an Italian horse.
Yeah.
In so many ways, not the least of which is temperament.
Including the part where all wins that I achieve on the track, probably undone by testing afterwards.
Right.
Just vacate.
Please go ahead and regale us with the story of Ray Perkins.
Speaking of vacated wins, Alabama football. So Ray Perkins has a tumultuous tenure there. He gets four years. Not in the order that you think in terms of wins. He wins 8, 5, 9, and 10. 10 coming in the last year when you think, oh, turning things around. Got a bowl game win. You know, tied for second in the conference.
But also,
and went
this
10
is the 80s. They weren't that insane yet.
Mm-mm. And still,
I think the real...
still a little spoiled, right? Still coming
I
off
think
of that.
You have to get to like this, and I'm much, much younger than you, so I'm going off from memories of radio, but I think you have to get to like 92 before they really start filing their own teeth to points in the stands.
Yes. Yeah. They are 10 and 3 in Ray Perkins' final year, 1986. Final, not because they fired him, but because he took another job. He just left. He decided he'd rather
respect.
Go coach.
Hit the bricks.
He decided he would rather go coach the Dark Age Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's Bucko Bruce Buccaneers with the creamsicle orange and white helmets that died in Green Bay twice a year. That is who he decided was a better option than coaching Alabama. This leads to his successor, Bill Curry. Bill Curry, a.k.a. the nicest
the
man in the world.
Nicest man. Not like when we say Bill Hancock's the nicest man in the world.
No.
But the actual nicest man.
The actual nicest man in the world, Bill Curry. Bill Curry.
Makes Mark Richt look like a stevedore.
He's there
a
for
a good
three...
guy with good opinions.
Yes.
The rarest of birds.
Yes. The guy during the Black Lives Matter protest, you said, no, we haven't done enough, and I failed, and my generation failed. A guy who is as thoughtful and considerate and considering a person as you will get in this sport. He goes 10-2 in his third year, his last at Alabama. They're tied for first, okay? They're 6-1 in the conference. We're going to follow a pattern here. He leaves. He goes. And he takes...
What happens before that?
Before that, he receives a brick through the window of his office.
At which point, his record is what?
I believe at that point they had lost one game, and then that was their second loss. No, it was their one loss. It was the one loss. I believe it was after the Auburn game.
Tisk fucking tisk.
Yes, I will get that straight.
They won the SEC that year, right?
I'm sorry, 88. 88 is when he gets the brick through. Yes, they were tied for first in the SEC, so they were tied for the conference.
But, you know, tied. So.
Tied. Yeah.
Whoa. There's only room for one tied.
No, this is when they were stunned. This is when they were upset by Ole Miss in 1988 when Bill Curry receives the brick to the window. It's not Auburn related and is an 88, which is his second year, not his final year, the third year, where at 10-2, Bill Curry decides, I'm going to take another job. After winning 10 games. So the second coach in a row to win 10 games and then quit. Just leave and go take which job? He pulls a reverse Bear Bryant. He took the Kentucky job. So again, where is Alabama losing coaches to? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the lowest of their historical lows and Kentucky football, which again, pre-Rich Brooks and pre-Mark Stoops. Yeah, is like signing up to get hit in the face every single day for the rest of your life. That's where Bill Curry decided.
Very many Suzannes back then.
Yeah. Not Bill Curry's department. Not his area of
Tampa
expertise.
Did, though. Tampa was crawling with Suzannes.
Tampa
the Suzannes were freshly hatched.
It's part of the
point.
Suzanne belt. Yeah. So then we keep going, okay? You get a guy, Gene Stallings, who comes up next. And the Stallings era is kind of odd because there's
another nice man.
Another nice man.
Another salt of the earth gentleman.
Another guy who
Go look up the Tuscaloosa. Gene Stallings is still with us, by the way. Go look up what he got up to in the aftermath of the Tuscaloosa tornadoes. It is one of the better stories
associated with the program.
Yeah, a respite, a guy who makes it 7 years in Tuscaloosa, wins,
opens a shit ton of car dealerships,
wins a championship, manages to achieve all of this without a whiff of scandal or impropriety. Don't fact check me on that at all, because I'll be wrong.
I'm focusing on the positive.
Yes, Paul Feinbaum like makes his bones during the Gene Stallings era, which is how you know it was totally clean and without scandal. He wins in his last year. He wins 10 games and then retires.
Have you ever read the quote from when Gene Stallings retired?
Mm-mm.
This is an AL.com story from 2018, but I was looking for this quote. "We were not on the same page, and that's why I retired," said Stallings. "I wasn't necessarily ready to quit coaching. I just wasn't going to coach under those conditions."
Third in a row, basically, that we can say. When they left, they were like, enough. I'm done.
We have always lived in the castle.
Only one guy was like, yeah, I'll stay on. And it was the guy they absolutely did not want to stay. That would be Mike Dubose, who had two losing seasons. I'm sorry. He went 500. We'll count that as a losing season in Alabama. 3 out of 4 seasons were either at 500 or losing. Even he managed to win 10 games. He's just straight up fired. So he's an aberration from the pattern here, but in a way that I think complements our overall point. And then finally we get to, I think, Alabama's forgotten man.
Not by us.
Not at all. There's two. We have two left. We have Mike Shula, who is
there.
Mike Shula, I'm not going in chronological order here. Dennis Franchione comes next. Dennis Franchione.
What happened there?
Dennis Franchione leaves.
To go where? Surely to another, to an NFL gig.
Yeah, so to speak.
In a manner of
speaking. A team with professional values.
And that they have their own standing army.
Dennis Franchione lasts exactly 2 years at Alabama. Two. He wins. Tell me if you've heard this before. 10 games in his final year before deciding to take the Texas A&M job. I know historically that this is made even funnier by Dennis Franchione considering leaving Alabama for the Kansas job at the time. So not only was he just wanting out, he was so wanting out that he was considering the Kansas job. And then finally we have Mike Shula, who kind of gets some goodwill after winning 10 games. He goes 6-6, and it's just kind of, it ain't working. And that's what leads us to Saban. So to review, one guy fired for being just a big old dummy. Okay. Mike Dubose, just a big old dumb boy. It was kind of one of those, like, God love him, but he's a big old dumb boy situations. And then Mike Shula fired for just kind of being mid. And then everyone else talking about winning 10 games in your last year and leaving. So if you're going to get on my ass about being like, oh, 9-3 isn't failure at Alabama, you can win 10 games, look up and go, I'm gone.
There is one through line we are leaving out here, which is a lot of these coaches. Shula's one of them. There's that. Mike Price didn't have a chance to win 10 games.
Legally, I'm not.
He had a chance.
I think you mean Mike Price, who's never done anything wrong and who, attorneys are listening to this podcast, let me just say, well done. Great career,
we
sir.
We already avowed earlier that we don't know anything that Sports Illustrated has ever published.
Nope.
Shula, Franchione, Stallings. There's probably a couple others that I'm forgetting. A lot of these are coupled with, the NCAA is knocking. The NCAA is very unhappy with Alabama and is coming with scholarship restrictions and probation and this, that, and the other. And like, for all the groaning and insistence that something must be happening at Alabama, that cheating must be happening at a level heretofore never before seen, there isn't that at the moment. Alabama is not like currently under the NCAA microscope, and that's the part I'm curious, like, are we going? I don't know if we're going back to that, in part because like the NCAA is not what it was in the 80s and 90s.
Florida, for one thing.
There could be that, but like I think that sort of like impetus doesn't exist anymore for someone to be like, shit, I won 10 games and everyone's pissed and the NCAA is about to take 20 scholarships away from me.
And I would argue that even if that isn't the case, even if they do turn their astigmatism Sauron gaze
towards Tuscaloosa that it might almost be immaterial. Here's we say this a lot. You know, the banners fly forever. Vacated wins don't matter. Bama has had vacated wins hit fairly recently. Can you remember when they were off the top of your head? Can you remember how long ago that was off the top of your head?
I know Nick had some vacated wins his first season that were connected to the textbook thing that predated him. Is that it?
Hey, remember the textbook thing? No, nobody does.
Yeah, right.
It's Bama. Yeah. And it's Bama. And the layperson, I would be astonished if there were half the people in a given focus group, even of this audience, who could name Bama's most recent vacated wins, which were not that long ago.
Which is especially wild considering this was a school that pre-Nick Saban was constantly on the list for, like, this is who the NCAA is going to hammer next. Well, this part is of where the death penalty
part
is
coming. That was not, like, their fault.
No, it wasn't necessarily. And again, like, this is you know, when the NCAA was viewed in a much different public and congressional light. But, like, that was the reputation for years, was that this is the school that's going to get, that's going to fuck around too bad and get the hammer.
Well, like, this is so why, like, I don't mean to swat that down, but this is just, like, even if that does happen, I'm not sure it's going to have any lasting impact on them.
Sure.
Because even the NCAA of 10 years ago, the punishments they handed down are forgotten.
Yeah.
Are completely forgotten. Have zero impact to this day.
So Bear dropped some bags, but mostly got away with things. His successors, whether they did or did not get away with things. Saban, you know, there's rumors and hearsay, and everybody knows a little bit of stuff. But what we can say is Saban's Alabama didn't get caught very often. Let's say
100%.
That.
100%.
I think you mean they were in compliance.
There were some ongoing investigations.
Yeah, so Bear being really, really good at quote-unquote compliance, his successors being awful at it. Saban being really, really good at quote-unquote compliance. Now, let's see which of those trends holds, I guess. Because the standard is the standard, and to meet the standard while following all the rules, that's hard. So something's got to give there.
To me, I agree that the interesting thing there, what the expectations are at Alabama, is an interesting thing. I am more interested about what does this do for everybody else? Because we have existed in a world for 15 years where if you were an SEC West school or, you know, an SEC East school that happened to draw them and you lost to Alabama.
Or an SEC East school that had to play them every goddamn year.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It sucked, but you could wrap your brain around it. Like, I don't think, with one exception, and even that I can sort of argue that it wasn't really just about that, that there was anybody who lost a job because you couldn't beat Nick Saban. Like, that was part of it, but it was all, like, even Gus is the one, like, where it was sort of like that started to fall apart. But it's like, it wasn't just that you were losing to Nick Saban. It's that you were losing to Arkansas and you were losing to LSU. And, you know, you, like, it's a symptom. But now the meaning of an Alabama loss is completely flipped on its head. Whether it should or not, like, the first SEC team that loses to Kalen DeBoer, and instead of that being okay, it's Georgia. I'm not saying all right. If that happens, and I'm not saying it's going to, but if Georgia goes to
Ryan Nanny calls for Georgia victory over Alabama,
if Georgia goes to Tuscaloosa,
I'm not saying you're right or wrong. They're coming. Oh no, they got to buy. Never mind.
If Georgia goes to Tuscaloosa next year and loses, that's, like, catastrophic in a way that it would just be lowercase b bad right now. Mm-hmm. If Bama goes to Tennessee next year on October 19th and beats Tennessee, that's like a problem. The same thing with the LSU game, the same thing with the Oklahoma game, obviously the Iron Bowl, even like Mizzou plays Alabama October 26th next year. that now becomes like it starts to take on the feel of like this becomes a like prove it or don't game Missouri.
Only for a certain echelon of the conference, right? South Carolina has Bama on the schedule next year.
South Carolina has much bigger problems. I agree.
No, this is what I'm saying. Like, does this add a straw to the camel that is Shane Beamer's hot? Jesus Christ, you know where I'm going with this.
Game is late enough for them that like they will already have played Kentucky, LSU, and Ole Miss. So, like, I feel like that.
I can't feel anything. It's all numb below the nose.
Great, though? Do you know what's great, though, about that phenomenon, though, Ryan? And I agree with you that it is a phenomenon. Either way, this makes for a completely hilarious Iron Bowl.
It feels like it's two things at once. One being you lose to Bama going forward. You're not losing to Bama. You're losing to a team who's, they're as talented as Ohio State or USC or any number of other teams. You're losing to, like, slightly glorified LSU or something like
they're,
that.
They're
right?
It's
that, and it's also, dog, you missed your fucking shot because there's still Bama.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
You missed the chance to say we want Bama and get it, and
Yeah. Also, that's on top.
Their schedule next year is.
That's on top of the extremely funny remainder effect that Auburn only hired their guy because he had beaten Nick Saban twice, and then Nick Saban, in the pettiest move imaginable on the board. I'm not saying it was motivated by that at all, but in terms of absolute petty value, you can't top. Oh, that was a pretty neat hire you made. Bye.
Cool. I'm going to beat you in the most Auburn way possible and then retire.
Strike me down. So Bama, more powerful as a ghost.
Bama should have hired someone who can beat Hugh Freeze, a.k.a. Jerry Kill. Now Auburn has to hire someone who can beat Kalen DeBoer, a.k.a. Jim Harbaugh. So.
Wow.
Yeah. This is all to say that at the end of things, after we've considered the entire arc of Alabama history, what makes anyone think that 9 wins, which was intolerable to all of the people that we just listed, and insufficient for their standards, what makes you think that after a legendary run, one so long that the last time Alabama did not have double-digit wins came in 2007 when they rolled out the fucking iPhone, what makes you think that 9 wins is going to be more tolerable now?
You're not wrong, because...
Are you saying that Bama's string of success is tied to government-supported 5G?
Yes.
Okay.
But Bama fans already knew that. They already knew that was... Auburn fans already knew that. They're like, it's part of the conspiracy.
Oh, my God. Where'd Tim Cook go to school?
That's right. See the signs?
For Bama to go 10-2 or better next year, they will have to beat... at least two, they'll have to at least split these games. Georgia, at Tennessee, at LSU, and at Oklahoma. And that's a tall order.
You throw Auburn in there.
You can throw Auburn in there. Like, I'm still not sold on what Auburn's going to be next year.
No, but it almost doesn't matter. Weird shit happens.
That's fair. So,
it's that in addition to it's a year two Auburn versus a year one Bama.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
whatever year one Bama means.
And that is, a Georgia team that has all of Saban's best players to hear Crimson.
The other thing that's going to happen before this is there are two games on this list, maybe three if you count the Western Kentucky opener, but there's two games on this list that I suspect Alabama fans are going to want to say, we want these to be 60-3 drubbings. We want you to come out showing that the machine is absolutely in full destructor mode. The first is the USF game at home on September 7th.
Their get right game against South Florida, which is a beautiful thing to contemplate.
Yes, a revenge game, even though they won the last one.
No, that's a very particular Bama thing. There's only a few schools that can pull off this particular kind of get right.
And the second one is week 3 at Wisconsin. Because if they Wisconsin wasn't good enough this year that if Bama goes and wins a close game, forget if they lose, like, the fire alarms will be fully engaged. But if they, like, fuck around and win a 10-point game against a Wisconsin team that mostly looked average all year in 2023, I think the panic will start to set in pretty aggressively.
I think panic is year two. Year one, they'd be like,
did you not hear the stuff I read at the top of the show?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, you're totally right.
Although I guess that isn't panic much as seething.
What if they go 8-4? Are they panicking then?
This is the thing. I don't think fear ever enters into that with them. It's just all disgust. There is no. Yeah. It is all rage based. Like they can have rage sadness and rage happiness and rage ennui, but I don't think I will say this for them, and it's an unusual trait to have, but I don't think fear ever enters into it with these people.
I think we've gotten a point where the SEC's conference was, we went from having absolute stability, and I think everybody had their roles pretty well cast. The retirement of Saban does change everyone's overall vibe. Like, I think that one, Kalen DeBoer starts like gun to his head immediately, like under fire. Doesn't matter. You are Alabama's coach and you're not named Nick Saban or
Bear. We ought to be used to that coming from a liberal dim enclave like Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's just getting groceries in Portland, brother.
Yeah. Put on your beanie.
Trader Joe's, you better be ready to trade bullets. I don't know anything about Seattle crime statistics. It doesn't have to stop anyone. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do my bud voice there. That's not who I was trying to imply is saying this.
Just assess, but you take your life going to the Bass Pro Shops. Because they definitely have one of those there.
Not to go all do they know it's Christmas, but do they have a Bass Pro Shops?
I don't know.
Where is the Bass Pro Shops belt?
I bet they have one.
There's a Bass Pro in Tacoma.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
That makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense. They would go to into the REI. That's right.
Oh, and you can count Cabela's. Cabela's had a lot of the North to you. So you can count the Cabela's belt in there, which was like, you know, Montana and shit.
Yeah. But now everybody, I think
I think the only state that doesn't have one might be Wyoming.
Wyoming does not have one. That's correct.
Okay. East Grand Forks, Minnesota is on the North Dakota border. So we can give them one. Wyoming is surrounded by like 12.
Wyoming is probably like, no, that's a little too.
Yeah. These are the actual pros. Wyoming thinks Cabela's is for tryhards.
Yeah.
Hawaii doesn't have one either, but they got plenty of fish.
Wyoming's like, we already have all that stuff.
Damn, Delaware's got a Cabela's.
That's what I'm saying. Alaska has a Bass Pro Shops in Anchorage.
Oh, wait. I think Vermont doesn't have one.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but
they could also be fish professionals up there.
They probably have some sort of very detailed ordinance passed in every single city that's like, a shop catering to the outdoors must not be larger than 500 square feet and can only sell one thing at a time. And the man behind the desk may be named Steve or the woman Nancy. And Steve and Nancy will offer flies. Like, yeah.
Rhode Island also without one.
Wyoming
got
still
some evangelizing to do.
Wyoming's still waiting on a third escalator. Because remember, there are only two escalators in the entire state.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Are they in the state house?
I do not know where they are. But yes, there are two escalators in the state of Wyoming. Put one up, Grand Teton. It's tall. I'm tired of walking up there. But this has made
They're
everyone
both at weird. Banks, according to the internet.
Banks?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this made everything weird, especially because the other power, like...
So the cows that have like bank accounts can get up. Like, you don't want to make steers climb stairs.
Steers can't climb stairs. LSU's a mess right now.
What do you mean LSU's a mess right now?
LSU's a mess. No one's happy.
They haven't tackled anyone since last year.
LSU is in need of adjustment, but like when you say LSU's a mess, that is a thing we have seen, and it is last year is not that.
Hang on, I'm gonna offer a counterpoint. Server, can you play the elevator music?
So let's...
They're a mess, Ryan. That's what you need to accept here.
All right, fine. You've bullied me into it.
But they're just kind of not mess positive, but it's kind of, it's in the genes, right?
Yeah.
Mess in my genes, yes.
There's yes. There's a certain amount of ambient mess that comes that seems to accompany the LSU job, no matter who does it, right?
Yeah.
And there are coaches that lean into that, and there are coaches that lean way into that.
This is where we have to rely.
LSU has resting mess face, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. That's pretty much what I was getting at.
This is where we have to rely on the long ballyhooed and established stability of programs like Kentucky and Ole Miss, places with reliable, stable situations.
Texas is the answer, my friend.
Seriously, the only playoff team with a returning head coach.
Texas with expectations. It's going to go great. It might. I don't know.
Is anybody, wait, what time did... Did Harbaugh take a job while we were recording this? I feel like
Last thing I have seen is that Michigan is very intentionally leaking that they're working on Jim Harbaugh's contract, and per his request, like building on all kinds of, like, even if the NCAA says I'm the worst dude in the world, you have to pay me. clauses.
What could be more
diplomatic immunity
after this past year? What does either party really have to worry about on that side? I'm not kidding.
I don't know.
All crime is legal anyway, for Jim Harbaugh.
I'm not too worked up about him interviewing the Chargers. We're fucking all interviewing the Chargers. It is show lore that everyone has to take a turn coaching the Chargers. Jim's not special.
I got a question. I'm going to channel Spurrier for a minute. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Why ain't Kirby Smart get all these NFL interviews, huh?
Well, hold that thought. Just hang on to that.
Who? All right. I'm going to name an NFL team that has an open head coaching spot or a possible NFL coaching head spot. And I want you to give me your reaction to trying to sell that team's fans on Kirby Smart head coach.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Fuck yes.
They've never heard of him.
This is demographically exactly the kind of man that Vegas seeks to recruit.
I agree with Jason. Raiders fans have never heard of Kirby Smart and don't know who that is.
I don't know, man. Like, he is, I feel like he would be at home in a strange land there.
The Seattle Seahawks.
That's a language barrier.
Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be
a Ted Lasso situation.
With them, you do have, he was a great college coach, huh? Just like our past guy who did great.
Sure.
Yeah, probably similarity.
Washington Commanders.
I want to go back.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I want to go back to Seattle. There's one thing that's a big obstacle there, too, which is Kirby's too old. I know what you're saying. Wasn't Pete Carroll 72? Was he?
Didn't look that way.
Was he?
Right.
Looked 37 to me.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the signs.
The Washington Commanders.
Yes, in that Kirby Smart will look fireable as a professional coach. So that's the main quantity all Washington coaches need is that they look very fireable. And he would look very fireable on those sidelines.
He also has the silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
For Washington needs a barrel at the helm.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers.
This might actually be a great spot.
Here's the thing. I think if the Panthers announced they were talking to Kirby Smart, Panthers fans would be like, I thought Kirby was an intelligent dude. Why is he looking at our bullshit team?
I love, living in North Carolina, I love that the natural reaction for literally everyone now when you just say Carolina Panthers is just to laugh. Just start laughing.
Your owner's throwing drinks on people. Like, yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, God, please.
Yeah.
Please, in my veins. The Curb Boys.
My McCarthy's so sleepy. Let's shake it up a little bit.
But look, Kirby took over a program that had historically underachieved, that couldn't quit get over the mark, that kept getting to big games and looked fucking stupid in the process, and just, whoops, here's a couple of national titles. No fucking problem.
So, Cowboys fans are going to look at this and they're going to say, okay, so he enters every game with the most talented roster and then he actually wins? Oh, yeah, we like that. Mm-hmm, that sounds like our entire plan if it actually worked. And also, again, there is familiarity with, we like hiring college national champions.
The Eagles are easy. It's like, yeah, we got like 15 of your players here. It's not a, like, you already know the roster. The Atlanta Falcons is the one I really want.
So I will give you first, the majority of the fan base immediately riots because Arthur Blank
Atlanta
has...
It's a liberal Dem enclave. We've been through
Arthur
this.
Blank... Well, yeah, because it always is, just like Seattle. So the fans are furious, most of them, because Arthur Blank has just robbed the more important local professional
yes.
football team.
Yes,
right. I, as a person without those affiliations, would say... whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm trying. I don't. He wouldn't have to change his visor.
Sure.
Has to be a piece.
He can probably fucking wear Georgia gear on the side. That's, I don't think anybody would be mad.
No, listen, that's what I'm saying. Do you remember when Jimbo got to A&M and there was that period of several weeks where they could not get him to stop wearing Florida State gear?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just all he had in his closet?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I get the feeling that that's going to be that is one of Kirby's particular skill issues, is dressing himself.
Yeah.
So this would maybe be a bigger boon for him than it would for some other candidates.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen in that first draft with Kirby, trading a first and a second to the Rams for who, for Stetson Bennett. Jesus Christ!
I'm off the deep.
But to answer your original question, the reason why Kirby Smart's not getting these NFL interviews is I bet he told his agent, "Yeah, Nick Saban just retired. I'm fucking staying. Are you crazy? Why would I go coach in the NFC South?"
That's a great point, Jordan.
Why would I do that?
It's probably also like Kirby's thinking that would be bad for recruiting. So
yeah,
I'm not gonna interfere with an NFL
autopilot,
job. Like he sees every fucking year for the past what 3 years, Harbaugh around fucking signing day is talking to NFL teams. Kirby doesn't want any of that.
Also, no way Kirby Smart didn't hear from Nick constantly about how much he fucking hated those 2 years with the Dolphins, about how bullshit it was, about how he didn't want Dante Culpepper, but the fucking ownership overruled him.
Y'all,
mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of speculation about Nick's future, but one of the things we have seen most speculated upon is Nick wanting to take an NFL ownership stake.
Mm-hmm.
Nick takes a stake in the Falcons. And they reunite.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse Bama mitosis.
The father working in tandem with the son to resurrect the spirit
of Arthur Blank.
Of Arthur Blank.
He may die at any moment.
The problem is that fits better with the
just
Bill
like
Belichick
all
interview.
We all may die at any moment. We were talking about this. Okay, we were talking about this earlier. Can you... being in the metro area, I suppose we have to address this Belichick situation. Can you even imagine Bill Belichick outside in this city? He's going to look like that senator in the X-Men who's made of water and just melts and runs off the table.
Just like a
I'm
big...
trying to picture him outdoors here. They're never going to open that roof.
I don't
again.
Know. Dude, he's cutting parts of his clothes off to...
yeah.
No, but he's going
to he already likes to ventilate his
linen.
Clothes.
He's going to come down here and thinks that he'll be fine if he just puts his linen shirt on. No,
gonna,
man.
He's going to be wearing a garbage bag and booty shorts.
I hope he grows a rat tail.
I would buy season tickets if he grew a rat tail.
That man's going to look
Belichick,
like...
Do something interesting with your hair challenge.
That man's going to look like a grumpy stack of candle remnants.
Like,
it's not like he ever goes outside other than football stadiums. He'll be fine.
He's gonna, I don't know, man.
He's going to live
long,
in a cinder block.
It's a long walk from the parking lot at Flowery Branch.
He's going to live in a cinder block shack across the parking lot. Like that's
no. Bill Belichick's going to no.
Atlanta.
If Bill Belichick gets the Falcons job, he's going to live in Savannah and helicopter in,
so he can continue because he's a fan of the coastal lifestyle.
That's right. He's a boater. No. He's a boater at heart.
No, but Savannah has too much riffraff. He's going to consider Oconee coastal. For the purposes of Georgia.
He'll just hire Gronk as his body man.
He'll commute from Charleston.
Gronk carrying him on his back like Yoda.
In his second life as a gentleman of the Gold Coast. He'll just have like white linen on. It'll look like shit 10
Savannah
minutes after he puts
Landover.
It on.
That is one thing the NFL really has over college football, is that the Falcons have to go out and make the announcement. Like, we talked to Bill Belichick about the head coaching job. Like, that's a thing they have to do. It's not just like, we got to put something out on social to keep the teens engaged. Like,
shout out to our friends on the Falcons staff who are just having an unbroken streak of normal ones at work.
Whatever. They don't have to deal with Arthur Smith anymore. And that's like, a thing that gets looked over a lot is that sometimes it's just fucking fun to fire a coach you don't want anymore. Like, even if you don't have a good future plan, even if you don't have a good succession lined up, sometimes it's fun just to pull the ripcord and just be like, no, it's not you anymore.
I like this concept. Can you list off a few of the most fun firings?
I think this was 100% what Florida was doing with Jim McElwain.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think things were that far damaged in the pro. Like, I don't think the team was like that bad at that point. I think it was just, you're a pain in the ass and we don't want to fucking work with you anymore.
They didn't have to go
and
all the way.
It was just
where
fun.
Where was this chronologically in relation to the shark fucking situation?
Post, but not too far. And also they didn't have to go as far as to get like, it was, I think, actively malicious to be like, so, and he's like, yeah, so I've gotten threats against my family. And they're like, can you substantiate those? We need to see those.
Right.
Oh, you can't. Huh. Like, they didn't. If it had been a coach
that's
with
a
more
bad school to try that at. Nobody's more online.
That's true. Nobody's more online. We have a very large law school full of people who are like, we would like to catch you in a technicality so as to undermine the validity of anything we've guaranteed you in our contract.
The Florida Gators are an emotional speed trap town.
Correct.
To go back to the Ohio State thing, Holly, I think a lot of it is that they're just like, we just don't fucking like you. We just don't think you're fun or interesting or believe. Like, we think you're full of shit. And therefore, if and when they fire Ryan Day, it won't be because they're like, well, you know, we took a look at the state of the... No, it'll be because it's like, no, we're tired of you.
I want an industrial psych textbook to be written about the past like 5 years at Ohio State. Like, this is not a diss. It is legitimately fascinating to me how the whole ball of emotions.
We have made it this far into the program, and I'm sorry that we did. We have not discussed the other personnel news surrounding Ohio State, which is that. Which is the new athletic director who is potentially being vetted for this job. It's not official. I haven't even seen anything that it's close to official.
A real black swan.
But Ross Bjork is potentially going to be the fucking AD in Columbus?
You see Ross Bjork's body of work and you're like, yes, more of that. If there's one thing that can stabilize the situation in Columbus and definitely won't make you land in some headlines that you don't want to explain at the dinner table, it's putting Ross Bjork in the building. Come on down, buddy.
Oh my God.
I wonder if they were just like, that guy's capable of getting a coach who's hard to fire fired. So...
So Ross Bjork is the bug guy.
The axe man. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate this.
Yeah. This is, you should know that the Columbus Dispatch, when listing the things to know about Ross Bjork, one of the bold points
does
listed.
Does it have a zodiac sign in there?
Ross Bjork was the Mississippi athletic director during the Hugh Freeze era.
Love it. Right. Love it.
Right there. A person who has made some interesting hires. A person who, here's what I'm waiting for. I'm gonna skip.
Oh my God, he's a fucking Libra. Of course.
I'm going to skip.
A Libra cusp. Nonetheless. Wow.
What does that mean?
It's typical.
That's okay. A whole separate podcast.
Yeah, that's a split zone podcast.
Yeah, this is penciling this in, coaches and whether they fit their astrological
signs. This will make a great podcast on 3 weeks on Pablo Finds Out.
Yeah. the thing you need to know about Ross Bjork is this, that if they hire or fire somebody, he's going to come out and talk about how hard or important that decision was. He may not have been there when it was made, but he's definitely going to have that press conference. Okay. If something good happens, he's going to talk about the deliberation and the process involved. Was he there? That's not relevant. He's definitely going to make that statement though. He's that coworker.
He
knows all the guys who raised the money to make the thing happen.
That's correct. That's correct. Was he
brings ice. Was he the
decision maker in there? I'm going to teach you an important administrative skill for those of you seeking to strive up the ladder.
I was part of a great team.
Yeah, part of a great team.
Yep.
You know, like when we were in that building all together, when we were all there.
Like, you're bringing in somebody who's four, these are four of his last five stops. Associate Athletic Director at Miami. Not during the fun years, by the way.
What happened at the end of that?
It's fine.
5 years as a senior associate AD at UCLA. There's a little gig at Western Kentucky here, which I haven't dug into to figure out if that's... I don't think that's the Petrino years. I don't think that would line up.
No, but it's Big Red no matter what, though.
And then there's Ole Miss and Texas A&M.
Some weird sex shit.
Like, these are... This is just... Oh, boy. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
I was thrown to split zone before in this episode, but I'm sure they will have lots to say about this.
He did not.
And by they, I mean Steven.
Here's the most important thing to know about Ross Bjork. His Wikipedia page is two paragraphs long. No sections.
Whoa.
Nothing. Nothing.
We'll fix that.
It is four sentences. That's it. Ross Bjork's message control is fucking impeccable on Wikipedia.
So that's where all of his effort is going. Okay.
It links to four external sites, none of which have anything to do with any of the shit that we've talked about at all.
That's legitimately impressive.
This man is on top of his Wikipedia shit.
Go look at the edit names and see what's in there.
Okay.
Yeah, here, I'm just going to slip in a fact. Ross Bjork was born on the moon. Let's see how long that sits up there.
The moon's not real. Citation needed.
Ross Bjork could fundraise for it, though, if you want to build one. Mm. Bjork, by the way, is not responsible for the Jimbo Fisher albatross of a contract. He did not do that. He is responsible for the extension on that one.
He's responsible for making it worse.
So he wasn't like, hey, here's the big boat that's going to bankrupt our family. No, but he did say,
let me leave the live well open.
Yeah. Why don't we put a new engine in it?
Oh.
Yeah. That's what he did. This is also leading me to the third piece, I think, of important human resource department news, which is floating in the air. We touched on it earlier, but I did want to go ahead and say, I want to entertain an if.
Wow.
Okay. If Harbaugh takes the turn that we all must take in life and bears the cross of coaching the LA Chargers for at least 2 years, because everyone has to coach the Chargers for at least 2 years if you're a professional, or one if you're an amateur. I did it back in 03. Ryan, your year was, I believe, 07.
Mm-hmm.
You coached in 07.
I took a little law school sabbatical to go coach.
Yeah, 12, Chargers. 13. A very young Jason Kirk did it in 99, 2000.
The kid. Jason the Kid Kirk.
You weren't ready for that job, but that wasn't your fault. I don't blame you.
No. That fan base still loves him.
Yeah, I think they know what happened.
It was tough having to drive straight over there after high school.
Yeah, but the Ring of Honor is waiting for all of us, is what I'm saying. And it may be waiting for Jim Harbaugh if he takes that gig. If he goes, and I'm not going to let you take anybody from the current staff, because that would be sensible, boring, and not entertaining for our purposes. You have to pipe in somebody to take the reins on a Michigan football team after the departure of Jim Harbaugh. Plug away.
PJ Fleck. I'm not sure it wouldn't work.
Neither am I.
You want to talk about a seamless personality transition?
I am worried about competitive cults, because there's one cult and then there's another.
At Michigan?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's I'm saying they have a pre-existing cult. PJ would have to weld his into the pre-existing cult of Michigan manhood. That might be an issue.
I think he could do it.
I don't know if he's that deft, but we can see. There was no such thing. There was no inherent gopher culture to deal with at Minnesota. It wasn't like, oh, we're sure he's not one of our fellas, you know? I don't know what accent that was.
You don't have any.
Yeah.
That's on Fargo in the off season, buddy.
Yeah.
I will take Lance Leopold. I know Lance Leopold didn't take the Washington job. I think he definitely would take the Michigan job.
It would be obvious to take somebody who's already done one of those little videos.
Sure, and like did a lot of work at Wisconsin Whitewater, so like is familiar with the area writ large. Like,
from there to Buffalo, he's already one of the most Great Lakes coaches.
That's right.
In terms of a risk board, this is a solid move.
Yeah.
You know, you said that and I got mad, so it must be a good hire. So it's like, that took a good one.
It'll also be very funny when Lance Leopold is just coaching fucking circles around James Franklin.
Oh, James Franklin. What's a list of candidates for a coaching job?
Man, poor James Franklin. This whole fucking like major coaching cycle didn't even get like a token extension out of any of this. Like, I'm worried about his long-term stability in Penn State.
Talking about a potted plant.
When the Washington and the Alabama and the A&M job can all come open and nothing for James Franklin?
Yeah, you might want to move him under just the skylight for a few weeks.
Just until he's got playoff appearances on the resume.
That's right. Oh, the other fun thing about the playoff that we haven't gotten to, because of the way it's structured, with the first four teams getting a bye, and the other eight teams playing on campus, somebody's going to lose a playoff game at home, and that's really going to piss people off in a way. Like, people are used to losing a conference title or a bowl game, but because it's not at home, it can kind of like reduce the sting a little bit. The first time that some like the 7 seed or some shit blows quote unquote home field advantage,
the literal win or go home game,
it's going to be just absolute misery. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're looking for like a 5 or 6 seed to lose a playoff game. Notre Dame, you have so much experience at losing playoff games already. This is you.
Notre Dame has also been fairly quiet so far in these few days of offseason. What are you plotting up there?
Currently the top ranked recruiting class for 2025.
Oh, that's what you've been doing. Okay. Never mind. Okay.
That seems like a good idea.
Notre Dame standing on business. All right.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Who are you giving the Michigan job to, Spencer?
Boy. If I... Yep. That's it. That's it. We're going.
Hey, he's presided over multiple Michigan victories of some import.
Can I give you a confusing name that would be very interesting to watch play out?
Please do. Yes, while I think of my answer, yes.
Jamie Chadwell.
Ooh.
Ugh.
No, he won't. He won't make it past.
Yeah, it feels like Rich Rod Part 2.
But culturally, he won't. He won't get in. Yeah, there. They won't. They're okay. They're too prissy. I think we can give him an interview, regardless of whether or not that's right.
Okay.
Like if he didn't get, Split Zone has done plenty on this. If Chadwell did not get interviews at big Southern programs, mm-hmm. if he was too redneck for big Southern schools, I don't know how he'd go over there.
All right, let me amend it.
I'm not saying that's correct.
Mike Gundy.
Yes, absolutely. God, what would he? There's another question I have of what would he look like outdoors there?
He'd look like literal Wolverine.
Oh, Jason, who would you give this job to?
I mean, Sherrone Moore is already 1-0 against Ohio State, so
right. Well, yeah, but I'm for the purposes of my experiment, I'm going to go ahead and take away Jesse Minter and taking away Sherrone Moore
and Jay Harbaugh. Jay Harbaugh can't have it either.
And Jay Harbaugh. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The funniest answer is John Harbaugh. If you just went and were like, hey, if John Harbaugh was like, "Fuck you, brother, you can't have shit over me," he wins a Super Bowl, and he's like, "I'm going to go win one of yours." I'm gonna do better.
No. Per Canada, the show, he has to do it cheerfully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I thought I'd take a couple gap years.
I just won 2 of these. That's not hard. Took you 9 years.
Huh. I couldn't have done it without the foundation you laid, little guy.
So if Leopold is off the board, and then let's run through the meme answers of Belichick, Saban, or Carroll at Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Carroll at Michigan, I think. Oh man.
Chris Kleiman, I can never remember. Would be very high on the list as well. To me, anyone who wins more than they're supposed to is where my eye is drawn toward.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Also. Good traditionalist masculine football. What are you gonna do? They do, yeah. It'll be like, what's your base play? You know, what's your favorite play coach? And he's like, third and one, we're running duo. You know?
Yeah, I mean, now is not the time for you to go in as Michigan's new coach. And I mean, we saw how it went with Rich Rod. Now is definitely not the time to do that shit because they've had all of their beliefs validated. You better double down on all of it.
You know, Rich Rod's had a hell of a year down at Jack State, maybe looking to step up.
It's time.
Maybe something to consider.
Mm. Yeah.
Someone pointed out he's now currently the longest tenured FBS head coach in Alabama.
In the state of Alabama, that's correct.
The dean.
And I think Trent Dilfer might be second.
Oh, Jesus. Just like we drew it up.
Yeah. Can I give you? Can I
hear Trent Dilfer's name in any of these?
Can I give you the dude they should go, like, if they should go get? If I was just like, I'm not even thinking necessarily about fit. Like, do you just want to go
about it for 8 minutes while we vamp?
Do you want to just go beat some ass? Go get Mike Norvell.
Okay.
I mean, no, like culturally, no.
Yeah.
Do you want a dude who's going to beat some ass? Mike Norvell. Is he, I will say he has one thing in common with his predecessor, which is a kind of manic, sometimes vacant look behind the eyes, indicative of somebody who just teleported into his own body and is like, let's win. That's it. Like, you know, Jim Harbaugh, sometimes you'd be like, yeah, you'd be like, it's 3:17 p.m. He's like, that's great. It's a good time to win. Like that's Mike Norvell kind of has that too.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Yes. I have an idea, and the idea is Kyle Whittingham.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Huh.
Oh, I hate this for everyone else. This is a good idea.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, I understand what you mean now, Spencer. I got like really angry when he said that.
Yeah, you can't. Because you're like, ah.
I got like mad on behalf of everyone who would have to play that team.
I will tell you though.
Holy shit!
If Kyle Whittingham is their coach, even if they lose four games, Michigan fans will be like, "Yeah, but we lost those four the fucking right way." Right? Be like, "What was the game plan in those games? Headbutt." Just beat the shit out of them.
Just biking on campus with in shorts all year.
I tell you, though, that is a package deal.
He might start an actual cult.
If you hire Kyle Whittingham.
This is a compliment.
If you hire Kyle Whittingham, it's kind of like hiring Adam Sandler to make a movie. You're hiring 30 other people at once. Okay?
You mean Andy Ludwig?
You get all of them. Nobody leaves that staff. Mm-mm. Nobody. Go look at that staff. And they're like, their resumes are like, first job, Utah, 10 years, assistant. 10 years coordinator. The only guy who is an import there is Andy Ludwig, and even he's been there for like longer than he's been anywhere else. Nobody leaves Utah. So if you hire Kyle Whittingham, that's cool. You're gonna have to write 30 other checks, and they're all gonna be this dude, right? Because that's a team. You don't hire just one guy.
Well, do you want to win or don't you?
I want to headbutt people. I'm gonna hire Kyle Whittingham.